So I said to myself, I don't want to be part of this.
Well, you know, there's an old saying, a thief don't like to see a thief. You understand? So if they feel you thiefing, and they are thieves, they become very angry. But let me tell you, Stretch, people don't know you and they talk about you.
Oh, yeah.
People have come to me already and talk about me, to me.
You know,
Romac can testify to this. I was in Romac record store one day and a fellow come in and he said, boy, this is the man should be running Carnival, and pointing at me.
Mm-hmm.
Noel say, not Noel, Romac say, this man, he say, yes, this is the man that should be running Carnival. You see the kind of shows he's put on? He should be running Carnival, not that thief Antoine. So after Romac keep hitting him with his elbow, and I see Romac hitting him and kicking him, I say, you're going to kill him? Let the man talk. Romac say, this is Antoine. The man say, this could never be Antoine. I know Antoine. Everybody know that chief. When Romac could not convince him, and anytime you see him asking, he's here still, I think. Romac say, come out my shop. Don't come back inside here.
I hear you. So, Henry, I gotta go.
Tell you, people just say things that they hear.
Oh, yeah.
And they continue, just like what's happening with Trump. People, he tells people things and people hear it and carry it on and make it sound like it is true. But that's a sex experience that Romac, whenever you see him, you ask him about that. He always marvel and he say, tell the fella, don't come back in my shop.
Henry, I got to go, my brother. It's
okay.
5 o'clock.
All the best of the rest of the show.
Thanks for your input on Mr.
Okay, take care.
Alexander.
Bye-bye.
Take care. We're going to rush it, folks. Because the gentleman is on the Zoom. Must have been the most played song the year it was released. Sitting across from me on the Zoom, those of you who want to know, get on the Zoom if you just want to listen or if you don't want to see Red Plastic Bag. I haven't seen you in many years, brother. How are you?
Not bad. Good evening to you. It's a pleasure to be here. I haven't seen you in a while. Hope things are well, you say?
Yes, I can't complain, my brother. And it's good to see people like you because I get the energy. I remember in the days when you and Mac Fingal used to be visiting our fair city.
Long time ago, right? A long time ago.
You think that will happen soon? After this thing dies down a bit? I hope so too.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that once the pandemic eases a bit, that we can start traveling again. And I remember sometime last year I had a discussion with someone from Montreal to be there, but because of the pandemic, it had to be canceled. So, but I'm looking forward.
You know, people don't seem to realize how talented you are. And I'm going to let the young Bajan guy question you. Because I'm going to let him save that question for my young apprentice, Mr. Drew. But I just want to ask you, how is Mac Fingal?
Mac is doing well. I had a long conversation with him 2 days ago. He's doing very well, still full of energy, still working hard as ever. He's now chairman of the National Sports Council.
Ah.
And he's doing a lot of work trying to, you know, make a contribution. And I you know how it is with Mac. He's always working hard. So he's still going, you know.
Whoa. I would really love to see you, him, and what's his name? I think it's John King. The singer?
John King.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, John King is now a member of parliament and also a minister in the premises office responsible for culture.
Ah.
He actually moved into politics. So, yeah.
That would be nice to say. I don't care because you guys, you had a show. For those of you who have never seen Red Plastic Bag in action, folks, I don't know what else to say, but you have to see him. All right, along with Mac Fingal, his buddy there, and this John King. Them three guys will control the stage. But before I turn you over to the young man, how did you get the name Red Plastic Bag?
Well, I know very well that this would have been an early question. people always ask.
No, I'm curious. Know, Red Plastic Bag.
What's your name, yeah? Well, when I was preparing for my first competition in St. Philip back in 1979, I actually entered the competition for fun. But I had no stage name. I didn't want to go as Stetson Wilshere. It sounded kind of strange to be a Calypsonian, especially back in the 70s.
Right.
And not have some sobriquet. So I went to the beach and I came back all burnt in the sun. And a nephew looked at me and said, "You yes. look like a red plastic bag." And I found it hilarious. And I said to myself, you know, this is the name that I'm going with simply because it seems almost insignificant.
Right.
It has a color that you can identify with. People can wave a red plastic bag. And because the competition at the time was more a fun thing, I went with a name. And to be honest with you, if I had to go back to 1979, I'll choose the same name again.
No, I was talking to a young person, a fairly young person, and they were totally, Father Stretch, how did he get the name Plastic Bag? Actually, I have no idea, but it's like that in the Caribbean, you know what I mean? You look at a man and you, right there and then the name comes
you
up.
Yeah, but you know, back in the day, we had like Lord this body, Mighty the next person, King the next person. So to call yourself Red Plastic Bag was a little different. And I don't know if you've realized that, in the early 90s, people started to use kind of outrageous names like, you know, Black Eyed Peas and Bare Naked Ladies and a whole set of names started to come out. So the name draws attention. Wherever I've gone across the world, people always ask, you know, why your name is as if they're trying to find out who is this crazy guy with a strange name, you know?
Yeah, it's not strange. It's just unique, to be honest with you, you know what I mean? I was wondering if somebody just dragged a red plastic bag over your head one of these years. But, you know, it's nice, the talent that you exude from out of Barbados there. And I am glad you guys are still around and doing your thing. And I'm looking forward to you coming to Canada one of these days. And make sure you drop a line here.
Recording in progress.
Wow. We're being recorded. I got it. Let me just got it. Yes. Yes. Plastic bags. I like the name. Don't blame me. I like calling you the name. Anyway, all right. So I'm just going to turn you over to Drew, my co-host, and he's gonna talk the Bajan language with you, man. Hey, Drew, red plastic bag.
Yes, Father.
Hi, Drew, how are you?
Hi, Mr. Bag. How are you doing today?
I'm
good, Mr. Bag. That's
well, as a young Bajan, that's how I have to address him.
I know. The respect. Yeah, but that's a good one, too, you know. I like that. Let me leave you guys alone. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm looking back, 42 years in the business, starting in 1979. You know what I mean? Who was some of your idols that you really look up to that really got you into the, that made you want to choose the avenue to be a soca artist?
Well, I've always said that I didn't choose Calypso. Calypso chose me, because when I entered the competition in 1979, it was a fun thing, although I was exposed to Calypso out of Trinidad through a cousin of mine who would always go down to Carnival and would bring lots of the music back. And I fell in love with the music from Mighty Chocolates and people like Shadow, Sparrow, Kitchener. And I was actually amazed at how Calypsonians could use language to tell their stories in some fantastic ways, and also to capture history. So I got fascinated by it once I got into it and realized that, you know, maybe this is something that I can do a bit more of. And it went from there. When I entered the competition in 1979, I won that competition in 79, 80, and 81. And people around me started to say, you know, maybe you should enter the national competition. And I was scared, to be honest. I was scared. I said, me going into the national competition? But then I was encouraged by people like Anthony Warren and Addison Ford and Hayden Coppin. And I went into the national competition and won the competition in my first year. So everything just went from there. It was as if a drum was beating a path for me to follow. Mm-hmm. And it just went from there.
Which song was it the first year you entered the competition that you won?
That national, yeah. In the national competition was a song called Mr. Harding and one called Sugar Made Us Free.
Yeah.
And those two songs were the two songs that took me to the title in 1982. There was no competition in 1983. It was rained out and I won again in 1984. I actually won my first five Calypso competitions.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. Today I'm wearing red, and this is that's only because you're here, right?
Well, I'm happy that you're wearing red. Red is a very vibrant color, my friend.
I actually grew up as a big Mighty Gabby fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember the years when you came in, I was like so upset. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Plastic bag. and the National Stadium will be just painted red. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
But I'll tell you one thing. I was also a fan of the Mighty Gabby before I entered the competition. Actually, I was always in awe of Mighty Gabby and people like Romeo. And it is because of my the way I saw them that really energized me, really gave me a standard to reach for. And to be honest, having gone into the competition or winning a competition from amongst those people, It took a few weeks before it could actually sink in, to be honest.
Yeah, I remember Mr. Harding, but this is the song that really, you know what I mean, like captivate me. And I said, well, Mr. Plastic Bag, at that time, it was more like an RPB, knows what he's doing. Let me get it here.
We start the party.
Yeah.
That's Plastic Bag. Tell me about that. Tell me about that song. For those that's not Bajan, you weren't real, you wouldn't know the real meaning behind that song.
Yeah. Well, back in the 80s, we had a situation where there was a gentleman by the name of Winston Hall, who was convicted and incarcerated. And he escaped on three occasions, I think. And I just thought I should make a song because it was a fascinating story surrounding this guy that he was able to escape and it was so difficult to find, to be found, you know? And I just created this song, called him my brother, saying that I was looking for my brother. I searched every hall. And all those names that you're hearing, those are places in Barbados, by the way. You know, Bank Hall and Rock Hall and Eagle Hall and Box Hall. All those are places in Barbados. So I tried to make the content of the song fit within the frame of the fact that he was probably all over Barbados and they couldn't find him. So the song became Road March in 1987.
Wow. That song was huge because like you said, those are places that's all over Barbados. Barbados is a very holy place.
Yeah, and that song that song was recorded at Carl Studios in Seelots in Trinidad. Working with that studio that he actually recorded in Trinidad between 1983 and 1989 or 1990, working down there with an arranger called Kenny Wallace. You know, he's passed, God rest in his grave, and he was an awesome arranger. I haven't done some work with Chalk Dust as well, and when he first heard the song, he said, you know, I like this song. I think that we're going to make a hit out of this song. And, you know, so sad. It really did well for me.
Yeah. You know, I totally forgot that song won Road March because you carry so much titles. You know what I mean? You have so many belts around your waist that I'm not even going to get here yet. You know what I mean? So after, was Ragga Ragga after Winston Hall?
Yes. Ragga Ragga was 1993. Ragga Ragga came in a year when I didn't actually go into the competition. My wife was expecting our first child that year in 1993. As a matter of fact, my son was born on the night of the Calypso Finals, on the day of the Calypso Finals in Barbados. I mean, maybe that's an omen. But you know, that song came out of having gone to a place called After Dark in Barbados. You would know about After Dark, a nightclub, yeah. Popular nightclub there in St. Lawrence Gap. And I went to After Dark and I heard this song. I think it was Big Tiger or one of those popular artists at the time. And this song was extremely popular. People were just jumping and singing the song. And all I tried, Drew, I could not understand what was being said in the song. So I actually waited. I said, a song as popular as this one must be played again. So I went close to the speaker to make sure that I could hear. But when the song came on again, I still couldn't understand. And whilst I was driving home, I was composing. And I said to myself, you know, I need to write about this because it sounds like Ragga 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 to me. But obviously, these songs were powerful because they were driving people into a frenzy. And I felt a little outside of the lane, so to speak, not being able to translate what was being said.
The mother that ever said, me to wait and murmur that patient master right donkey. Bring it, Pinky John. Oh man, fry it by friend, master, what am I talking about? Just told me a fool and I said, I can't ride with him. Ay, 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 ay. Ride like what? John, do what? And ride like a John. Fool ya, idiot.
Is that the Tiger song you're talking about?
Yeah, popular song to me. To me, obviously, these fellas have actually captured the, you know, they are attached to the root of what audiences respond to. Because that song was extremely popular. I mean, the people were really responding. And I just couldn't get my head around it. But obviously, these fellas understood at the time, I mean, even now, what, you know, how to really captivate the minds of people.
Yeah. So who was the producer for Ragga Ragga?
Nicholas Branker produced that song. He did an excellent job. As a matter of fact, I've been working with Nicholas since 1990 until now. As a matter of fact, we're in the studio now trying to work on some music. And he has done an excellent job for my music over the years. And I really want to thank him for all the effort that he put in creating wonderful music around my work.
Do you do all your writing on your own, or you have someone else that works with you?
Yeah, I do all my writing. I actually write for others as well. I've had the privilege to write for people like Swallow and, back in the day, I wrote for Arrow back in the day. I've written for Allison Hines and, from Square One. I've written for quite a few people, Natalie Burke and Terencia Corrid. And I love to write. I love Calypso. I love music in general. But most of all, I like to sit down, conceptualize a song, and compose it.
Okay, if you guys are just joining us, this is the gentleman that we're speaking to, Mr. Red Plastic Bag out of Barbados. And this is gotta be, I would say to myself, your number one hit. Howard Stretch Car played it before, but I'm gonna play again for those if you're just joining us.
You have found a way to blend that soca and reggae fruit. And I'm going to play something else for you before we get talking again.
Wicked.
You have a very creative way of playing with the words.
Well, I just love to write, and I believe that if you're able to exploit the literary devices, you should, especially when you're the topics out there, everybody's singing, pretty much they're exposed to all the topics out there. So I try to look for creative ways to tell my story. And I think I just love language. I think that is an amazing thing when you hear people like Chuck Dusty do his angles over the years, the songs that he actually composed, singing over all the political issues, all the social and political issues in the country, using lots of innuendo, using lots of puns and metaphors. And to me, that adds color to the writing, and I love to do that. I just love writing, and I'm fascinated by music that is of that that sort, the music that make you, music that will make you think beyond the surface.
Beyond the surface. Oh, I'm gonna take it back a little bit. You said you won your first three competitions, and myself, I was a fan of Mighty Gabby, and you said you were a fan of Mighty Gabby and a lot of others, right? So going into that competition against those guys that you looked up to, you know what I mean? How was that? How did you prepare for that?
It was difficult, to be honest. I wouldn't go as far to say I was afraid, but I was awestruck by the fact that I was actually in my first year in a competition with these people who were already established, who were, I mean, pretty much dominating the airwaves. And even to be in the same dressing room area as these guys felt special. And even now, I look back at those times and say to myself, you know, I was really privileged at the time to have an opportunity to rub shoulders with these guys who are some of the builders of the Calypso art form in Barbados. And, you know, of course, you know, Romeo passed. But when I went into that competition, he was reigning Calypso monarch. And, you know, winning a competition and you know, defeating someone like Romeo was a great feeling, but certainly a feeling, that something that I never really imagined. As I said to you, I didn't choose Calypso. I just happened to be in Calypso. Ruta love it and with all my heart. And I always say to people, respect the art form, you know?
Yeah. Me, myself, I know. For those who doesn't know, could you tell them how many pick of the crop titles do you carry around your waist?
Well, I won 10 pick of the crop titles. I actually went into 20 pick of the crop competitions and won 10. I came second about 5 times as well, and a couple of times. I had a fairly good career in some monarch competitions. I won 2 road marches. I also won 2 what we call groovies. We call them Sweet Soca Monarch. I won 2 Sweet Soca Monarch, groovy Soca Monarch competitions. So my career was okay. I had fun, but I think I'm over competition now. When I started, I actually had hair. I no longer have hair. The competition can call it.
Oh, Drew. Drew has company. Yeah, whoa. Is this a Beijing thing? The hair thing?
It could be. But, you know, but I had enough of the competition. Competition is good and the competition is bad. I think competition, it has its place in our carnivals because it is a tradition, but you have to be careful with how you allow competition to shape who you want to be as a musician or where you want to go as a musician, because you tend to write songs that fit what the criteria are. And if you go down that road, then you become too connected to a small lane. And you wouldn't be as broad in terms of your competition, your composition. So around 1993, in the year of Ragga Ragga, you realize that I started to do a lot more dance music, because I worked out that if I'm going to survive, I need to broaden my base with regards to the music I was producing. And if I want more social commentary back in the day, they were parochial, they were connected to the local area that you were in. So most people were not able to understand a lot of the things that you were singing about. So I started to come more into the center, so to speak, to produce music that can appeal to wider audiences across the world.
Talking about music that appeals to wider people across the world, I remember traveling to different Caribbean islands. And, you know, I mean, it's amazing that when you go to certain islands, the sounds that you hear from artists, you know, that probably is not as in heavy rotation in the country where that artist is from.
Hard to dance. Something strange is happening to me. I've been watching it recently. Took my time to dress this morning. Everything was neatly fitting. But now you are here next to me. Clothes fitting uncomfortably. I'm feeling uneasy in my pants.
I'm feeling uneasy.
I'm feeling uneasy in my pants. Pumps up
in me pants.
This thing you just flare up
in me pants.
Whenever you're near me
in me pants.
This thing just attack me
in me pants.
I'm feeling uneasy in me pants.
Trust me, Plastic Bag. Tunes like these are like, man, you know, like you're writing just have a way.
Could I have a question? Could I have a question? Sir Plastic Bag. Was that a true story where you was whining on the wrong woman?
No, I just wanted to create an atmosphere, but create the whole thinking, thinking around the view that lots of people have when they go out into the field as though they can whine at anybody.
Oh.
But, you know, a guy said to me that, you know, Bag, you sang that song, but you could have been speaking about me. Because usually when I go into effect, and you know, I just whine on anybody. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it feels better than, you know, than the usual whine.
Yeah,
hear you.
So, you're a brave boy.
So what I'm saying is that song was created out of people thinking that kind of way. And that song was extremely popular. It was recorded by Red Boys. I'm sure you heard about Red Boys, who they've been doing quite a bit of work in the Caribbean as well. That was in 2007. That song did quite well for me as well.
All right. Sorry, Drew. I just wanted to know about how brave Mr. Plastic Bag was, you know.
No. I'm not so brave.
No, your writing is very creative, and it makes the mind.
Yes. Makes you think.
You start thinking a lot. And I remember this is, I think, maybe about 4 years ago. I was in Barbados for Cropover. Very, very popular.
Oh yes, the water rough. Every sailor must be tough. The boat is rocking. So come out and rocking. It is a bumpy ride. We rolling with the tide. The boat is rocking. So come out and rocking. Hold on to something. Hold on to anything. Hold on to something. Hold on to anything. Cause we rocking left. We rocking right. We rocking day. We rocking night. The boat is rocking. So come out and rocking.
Okay, Plastic Bag. Tell me, what's the meaning behind this song? Because the first time I heard this song, after you tell me your meaning, I'll tell you what went through my mind when I heard it.
Well, first of all, you know that I'm not just going to sit down and write a song about a boat on the water rocking. You know that, right? You know, during that period, our country was actually going through a fairly tough economic time. And that song, that is really about the economy and the fact that we were going through some rough times. So I'm saying that every sailor must be tough. You got to hold on. Because you got to stay on board. And basically, that's what the song was all about. It was really a social commentary more than anything else. Well, most songs are social commentary. All the songs you can say that are social commentary anyway, but that one was very, very much, in your face from the standpoint of where we were economically at the time.
As a country, yeah. Because the first time I heard that song, that's exactly what I talk about. You know what I mean? The waters are rough. You got to hold on tight.
Every cinema.
This place is going upside down.
Right. You know, but I believe this is why I know that there's still a place for Calypso in its true form. Of course, things must evolve because young people who are coming into the art form, they're dancing to a completely different drum. And the way they're going to express themselves is not the same way that I might have expressed myself back in the day. So we have to be patient and understand that young people are going to be doing it differently. But a lot of these young people who are singing these songs that in this rhythm that we call bashment now, a lot of them are singing social commentary in a very strong way as well. It's just that it is being done differently. But as a whole, I believe that artists who are involved in the soca art form must think beyond carnivals. I think that what we have done, we have linked too much of our music to carnivals, and now we don't have carnivals. You know, our music is pretty much dead in the water. And I also believe that even during the pandemic, when people were looking for songs that appeal to the emotion, soca was found lacking because it is not broad enough. There's so many songs that are about fets. There's so many songs that are about parties because the carnivals drive the music. It has to be the other way around. The music must drive the carnivals. So, and if the music is driving the carnivals, the topics would actually be broader. So we can sing about love. We can sing about the clothes. We can sing about anything. We don't necessarily have to sing Java Wine every single time, because the music is pulsating enough that it can drive the people to dance anyway. So we just need to broaden our topics, because look now you can't congregate on the streets like you used to, and there are no fets like they usually have. What are we going to do with this huge repertoire of music that is only Jam and Wine? So we need to strike a better balance in terms of the content of the music that we are producing.
Good point. Good point. I never heard it said better.
Yeah, I'm very happy that you went down that avenue, because that was the next question I was going to ask you. So after 42 years, what keep Red Plastic Bag going?
Well, I love the art form. I believe that the art form has a place in our society. And once radio stations and the powers that be in the society understand that they need to give the level of support to art and culture generally, because I think to a large extent, we have not embraced art with the same fervor that we embrace other industries. And the cultural industries as a whole, they make a significant contribution. The cultural and creative industries make a significant contribution to the world economy. But for some reason in our region, we don't embrace art the same way that, say, Europe would embrace art. And I think it is now that we need to give art its rightful place at the table, so to speak. Because even now, when you look at the fact that people are feeling down and out simply because of the fact that they're unable to go out, music and art in general plays a vital role in terms of social cohesion, in terms of lifting the spirits of people. Even now, when there's a lot of psychological fallout, music has a way of lifting. Music and art tend to lift the spirits of people, and socially, they bring about social cohesion, which is critical when you're thinking of a social economy, so to speak.
Yeah, I find a lot of the artists out there today, there are a lot of very talented artists out there, but I find when it comes to the writing and the lyrical content, it's very repetitive. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of microwave. I'll call it the microwave stuff. You know what I mean? It's good for this period. It's warm for this period of time, and then it's gone. A song like Ragga Ragga, or we could even go back to the days of Square One and Crossfire. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, this music was party music, but yet still, it was telling a story that would give you a good feeling and would last forever.
Yeah, but why not? You see, the thing is that there's several factors affecting what we produce. I mean, it is not only just that the fact that it's being driven by a carnival, but lots of the young people who come into the art form, a lot of them do it for fun. A lot of them do it because it's a way to get popular easier, and they see it as, oh, I don't have to climb the ladder of success. I can use the elevator, because once I make a tune, I can get it played on radio and it becomes popular, and I can beat my chest for a whole carnival season. And you know, I have fun. So, but there's another side, is the business side to the music. And I think that is where we have been lacking. You know, someone, I think it's James Brown, who has said that it is called show business, but we tend to get too caught up with the show and forget the business side of it.
The business side of it.
You know, so I think it's very important that we understand that you know, the cultural industries and the creative industries, serious business, and we need to take them seriously. And you don't walk into a surgery, put on a lab coat, you know, and say you come to try a thing. You understand what I'm saying? So why should you come into art and culture to say, I'm going to try a thing? I mean, you have to take it seriously. There must be a certain level of respect and regard for the work that was done by a lot of the stalwarts that went before, a lot of people who actually paved the way and created a platform for us. We need to be mindful that we are walking on sacred ground, so to speak. We need to respect the art.
Okay. When you look at a lot of the talent coming out of Barbados now, you know what I mean? There's many artists. And me, myself, I know if I had to say who carries the baton moving forward, who do you see as one of those artists that you will say, like, this guy has a bright future from the what he sings and the talent and what he brings to the platform of Soca Music?
Well, there's several artists out there that are doing exceptionally well. I pay a lot of attention to what is going on in the what we call the newest kind of genre. It's not really new. To me, it sounds like fast dancehall. We call it bashment. There are several artists out there who are writing really well and perform. I don't like to call names in this regard, but there are several young artists who are doing very well. We have a few youngsters who are actually producing their own music, producing quality music as well. But as I alluded to earlier, the problem with the music is always going to be the content, in my opinion. Contrary to popular belief, a lot of people believe that music, the music that accompanies the lyrics, people think that they're even in terms of representation. I somehow believe strongly that if I had to choose a side of that, I would have to choose the side of lyrics. I think that a song is, in my opinion, although the music complements the lyrical content, in my opinion. And yes, you need a good marriage, you need good music behind lyrical content, but I think lyrical content is critical. So the music that is being produced now, in my opinion, is great music, but I think that we have failed miserably in terms of the content that we have been producing. So yes, there are a lot of young people out there who are doing exceptionally well here in Barbados. I feel confident about the future of the music. What we have to try now to try to stem that flow of jump and wave and bacchanal and try to create a greater balance between that and music that can appeal to wider audiences across the world.
Okay, so after 42 years in the business, what could we look forward with this pandemic happening right now? What could we look forward from Red Plastic Bag going forward? What could we look out for?
Well, I will always continue in soca music. I probably wouldn't be out and about on the stage like I used to be. I actually believe that I'm going to get much more into writing. I would like to work a lot more with young people who are interested in writing. Not just soca music, but music in general, so that the music that we produce can be a good solid content that anyone across the world can actually appreciate. Because we are more than carnival, we are more than bacchanal. We are broader in our thinking, and I believe that the music that we create must reflect that. People argue that what we produce musically is a reflection of what is going on in our society. Why is that maybe true? I still believe that there's an opportunity. There are several people out there who are quite capable of producing music that can be world class.
Okay, I'm going to get two more questions in before we get going. Who is Red Plastic Bag on an everyday basis?
Well, I'm a kind of a home guy. I like doing things around the house. I read, I watch lots of television, lots of documentaries. I'm a world affairs kind of person, would follow all the news across the world. I'm quite cognizant of what is going on around me. And, you know, for those who are writing, I think that that's something that you need to think about, you know, read a lot, you know, pay attention to what is going on around you, because, you know, artists tend to paint pictures of what is happening in society around them. And if you're not aware of what is going on around you, you probably won't be able to write about it.
Yeah, and my final question is, if you weren't Red Plastic Bag, the Kaloxonian, who would you be today? What do you think? What kind of career you think you would have?
That's a little scary, to be honest. I quite enjoyed my life as a Kaloxonian. But but before, I actually did a 9-to-5. I did accounts with an airline from 1981 until 1995, when I decided to go full-time music. And, you know, I don't want to even think about what I would be as a when I was growing up, though. There were a lot of teachers in my area, a lot of policemen in my area as well. You know, at the time, you didn't aspire to be anything huge, as they say. But, you know, I like the ordinary man. I am very connected to the ordinary man. I came from very humble surroundings, very humble beginnings. And I'm still rooted in village life and in community. And maybe at the time I could have been a teacher, maybe a policeman. Yeah. But I am happy that I chose at the time, once I realized that it was happening for me, to be a Kaloxonian, because I became the mouthpiece of many people who didn't get the chance to speak out. And I made the Calypso stage my parliament. And if you go back to my songs from way back, you realize that I tried my best to be a mirror in society, speaking out for those people who I consider to be from the low socioeconomic bracket, those people who don't get a chance to be heard. I wrote a lot about, I wrote a lot with those in mind, because every time I write a song, I never saw myself on stage. I've always seen myself as being amongst the people.
Yeah, okay. I see you as Officer Bag.
As Officer Bag? At the time, I had the height, because, you know, they always wanted policemen to be tall at the time, and I was quite tall from my young. So, it could have been, you know.
Okay, thank you for your time, Bag. I'm going to turn you back over to Mr. Howard Stretch Kerr.
Thank you, too.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
A pleasure, always.
Well, I don't have much questions to ask, because he asked all the delicious questions, which was very interesting. And all I can say is the Kaloxonians are certainly the social commentators of the Caribbean. And I look forward to see who is whining and who, and that they shouldn't be doing that. I totally love that song. So Plastic Bag, Red Plastic Bag, I certainly enjoy talking with you and listening to your conversation with the young man. And I'm looking forward. I hope you guys make even the great Gabby, I hope you guys will make a trip here. You guys should put the thing together, a Bajan side, and just travel the world for a couple of months, 3 months or so.
Well, that would be great. I think it's very important that the people of the Caribbean, the artists in the Caribbean, look seriously at how we're going to move forward post-pandemic. How we're going to move from just being in a normal set, mm-hmm. to broadening our horizons with regards to the audiences that we perform for, so that, you know, we can survive. I think it's going to be extremely tough. I think it's going to take another 5 years or so before things get back to any semblance of normalcy.
Yep.
But because there's no magic switch, there's no switch that you can just turn on and go right back to where you were. It's going to take some time, because everyone has been affected financially. So promoters are going to find it difficult to promote shows as well. But I'm looking forward to that gradual movement back, where we can do a lot of the performances overseas like we used to.
Yes.
But that must be the view across the Caribbean. Not only for soca music, but also for reggae.
Everything.
For music in general in the Caribbean, yes.
Yes, we miss that live entertainment. I thank you, yes. My brother. Looking forward.
It's a pleasure.
Know who I'm going to hang out with in Barbados whenever
real,
I pass
for
through.
Real. For real. Get on an aircraft and come down. We're doing quite well with the pandemic. We have done very well. Of course, we have a little spike now, but we have done exceptionally well as a small country,
right,
with this pandemic. And we're going to beat this. We're going to work our way through it. We're going to get back on track. Thank you very much. Looking forward to seeing you in Barbados. Okay, Drew. Thank you. Have a great evening.
Thanks, man.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Jake Nicholas. Jake Nicholas. In the mix. better. Got me feeling like the ocean under the wave.
Taking us up to the 6 o'clock hour. DJ Nicholas. I know we have to leave you with a little soca music. But Plastic Bag was so interesting, man. I could have talked with that guy all day. CKUT 90.3 FM on your dial. Every Saturday, 4 until 7. With a zoo. Next week it will be Lorraine Klassen, 4:45 until 5:30. All right? That was very good, Mr. Drew. Enjoyed your
show them you have it. You master all of the tricks. Drop down flat and make your booty split. Tick tock, how are you? Tick tock, wine to the wine to the bass song.
Bye. passion, baby. And you got me feeling tipsy.
Girl, roll it. Roll your bumper right back on me.
All night you teasing me. The way you giving it to me.
Girl, roll it. Roll your bumper right back on me.
You rising my passion, baby. And you got me feeling tipsy.
Girl, roll it. Roll your bumper right back on me.
Shift it out of first, but in reverse.
Yeah, that's us, 90.3 FM, DJ Butcher T in the mix. I want to say another pleasant good afternoon to you, and thank you, Red Plastic Bag. Interesting interview done up by Drew, and the points were well taken, and I look forward to people, good artistry, where the writing is concerned, and you didn't fail me. Red Plastic Bag, I remember these guys coming here years ago, and when you want to talk about parties, that's where we were. Ah, beautiful. 2 minutes to the hour of 6 p.m. Gonna try and get in the commercials. Why it's not playing on this computer, I do not know. It refuses. The computers refuse to play the commercials on this thing here. What I tell you. CKUT 90.3 FM, and keep it locked. And one of the things is, you know, I'm trying to fool this, but the commercial should have been here. Windows Media Play encountered a problem, refuses to play the commercials. Let me try another computer. The land of computers. Where is it? Bear with me, folks, please. First time I'm asking you to do that. I will have to call the toughest.
Dose of courage and perseverance to get through a pandemic.
True. But it also takes a good dose of patience, resilience, confidence, optimism, humor, and love. Not to mention a dose of determination, endurance, empathy, motivation, hope, and ingenuity.
But above all, it takes a second dose of vaccine.
A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
It takes a good dose of...
The federal election is on Monday, September 20th. Make sure you're registered to vote. If you are, you should get a voter information card in the mail from Elections Canada. It tells you where and when you can vote. If you don't get one by September 10th, or if the information on it is incorrect, visit elections.ca.
For the official information on voting and our health and safety measures, visit elections.ca or call 1-800-463-6868. It's our vote.
Sam's excited to see his favorite band play live. He's thought about it all week. He bought his ticket. He wore his band t-shirt. He went to the concert venue. He wasn't allowed inside the concert venue. He put away his band t-shirt. He threw away his ticket, and he thought about it all week.
Don't wait until it hits you. Get vaccinated. Beginning in September, you'll need a vaccination passport to enter certain public spaces. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.